Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome. Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new huntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate, Rochester, Syracuse, Greater Albany, Utica, Watertown, and even out to Phoenix, Arizona. This show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. I encourage you to call Hunt Mortgage today at 633-3700 and ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants. And that's guaranteed. And also ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash. So call Hunt Mortgage today, 633-3700 for personalized, customized, what we like to call knock your socks off service, and check out that low rate guarantee. Certain restrictions do apply, but details are on our website at huntmortgage.com. And don't forget about the first ever 24/7, 365 real estate hotline. That's the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale here in Buffalo, Niagara, Rochester, Syracuse, Albany, all across upstate, and way out to Phoenix, Arizona. So simply dial 716-631-4800. Enter the street number of the house you want to know about, no matter whose listing it is. Doesn't have to be ours. And the hotline will prompt you with the choice of street names. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that property, all automatically, just that fast, anytime, in any market we serve on any listing, whether it's ours or any other broker's. We have a very active market out there right now. And there is a, if you've been in the market, you know there's a shortage of homes available in today in Western New York and a very high number of qualified buyers actively looking for a home. So this is a time when you may want to consider testing the market. If you've ever thought about selling your home, there's probably never been a better time in terms of the rate of appreciation and also the number of qualified buyers that are out there. And at Hunt Real Estate, of course, there is no risk or any chance of loss whatsoever if you list your home until, of course, we produce a buyer ready, willing, and able to buy that particular home at that point. That's the only time that there's any cost at all involved to you in selling your home. So that's available only through Hunt Real Estate, and I encourage you right now to take advantage of the one guarantee that exists that's more comprehensive and superior than any other guarantee in the marketplace today. It's very simple, that we will sell your home or ERA will buy it. That's a seller security plan. I encourage you to ask one of our agents about that this weekend at one of our many open houses or call 633-9400 for details. A very special show for you today. Here in the studio with me, I have a co-host today, Jonathan Orlow, who is the branch director of our Metropolitan Branch in the city of Buffalo, and I'm going to let him introduce his guest.
Good morning, Peter. We're here with Ty DiMatteo, one of our agents at the Metropolitan office who works with me on Elmwood Avenue in the city. Hi, Ty.
Hi, Jonathan. Good morning, Peter.
Good to have you here, Ty. One of the things that I constantly hear around town is that how hot the city is, and this is, I think, a kind of a manifestation of all the things that are happening in the city today. You've been very active in various parts of the city, Ty. So tell me what your perspective is and what you think is driving the demand for almost really almost anything that's available in the city these days.
I think what's driving the demand is the communities in the city that where the people are moving back from the suburbs into the city, looking for, you know, a more community atmosphere where they can buy a house and become part of the area, and being able to walk a neighborhood and getting all their services nearby.
Well, you know, it's interesting. This is a something that we've been talking about literally for years on this show with experts like George Grasser, and as we've discussed the issue of new urbanization, which in many cases takes the form of reurbanization, the way cities' streetscapes are redesigned. And if you look around the city of Buffalo, even today, what's happening today on Bailey Avenue, there's a kind of an outdoor art festival of a kind going on there to really, I guess, highlight the fact that we have very important and significant walkable communities here in Western New York, as you're mentioning, Ty. What do people say to you? I mean, they just like parking their car and walking? Is it just a sense of community? What is it that drives people to want to be in the neighborhoods, the traditional neighborhoods in this community?
I think it does have a lot to do with, you know, sense of community, knowing the neighbor, knowing the business owners. By the business owners knowing these residents that are moving into the city, they're better off, have a better chance of meeting their needs. And going in and having experience in a neighborhood where, you know, the new homeowner can experience a, you know, a more friendly face on, you know.
Well, you know, I think it's not just the Elmwood Village. You know, we hear about this and we look at some of our walkable communities. You know, Elmwood's a big buzzword. We've heard that for so many years. Hurdle. But what I think we're experiencing in the city office is we have a population of people moving from New York City, people who are maybe first generation Americans, and they're coming to Buffalo from New York City and larger metropolitan areas without cars. And this is a relatively new phenomenon that we're seeing in our office. And Ty, I know we've talked about this several times. And to see these multi-generational families coming to Buffalo because of our affordable real estate, and one of the things that they're looking for is to be in neighborhoods where they can walk to a grocery store, walk to a convenience store, just like they could in New York City or, you know, some of the boroughs. So that's kind of interesting to see. Do you think that's kind of attributing to maybe near like the Broadway Market and, you know, the rising rents and prices that we see over there?
Definitely. You're seeing a lot more people moving around the Broadway Market, you know, and they're also buying the house your typical buyer is not looking at. Houses that tend to need more work, and they're coming in, buying up these houses and putting in the work to create a community that may be reminiscent of what they had when they were in, you know, New York City or down in the boroughs. There's also upswing in the Grant and Ferry area where there are people buying these homes and rejuvenating those neighborhoods and kind of creating a sense of atmosphere for themselves and bringing their culture to Buffalo.
You know, I think when we're talking about culture and we're talking about community, we're talking about establishing this in areas where homes were vacant. We had a very high vacancy rate, a low home ownership rate, where the occupants of these homes, it was mainly tenants. And I think now we're seeing an increased sense of pride of ownership in these neighborhoods where people are coming from other areas. They're bringing cash, buying these houses. They're investing multi-generation, you know, resources to be able to fix up these homes. And I think it's really changing the landscape and the feel of the neighborhoods. You know, also bringing children into the schools. Neighborhoods where you didn't see kids playing before, now you see them riding their bikes. And I think it just adds to people wanting to invest in these neighborhoods and increasing the values overall.
One of the things, excuse me, that I'm seeing, which is another interesting, contribution to this level of demand and also the rising sense of community and a new sense of community are two things really. One is that you just pointed out, Jonathan, this issue that we're seeing maybe for the first time in a long time where people are moving here from larger urban areas without cars and want to be in communities where they don't need a car. I think a car is something that maybe for some people an unnecessary luxury, and that's what can be, I guess, a need that can be satisfied or a demand that can be satisfied by communities that are closely knit in terms of all kinds of services. The second thing that I'd like your comments on is the whole issue of the new nationalities we're seeing around town, the refugee communities that are coming in with almost nothing. And yet, in a short time, they're contributing to our economy and also providing students for schools. I mean, one of our high schools, I understand there's over 20 languages that are spoken in one of our high schools, and I'm sure that's not the only one. So this is a whole new level of vitality that's coming into our city. And how does that, I guess, manifest itself in the real estate market, as you see?
You know, I think it's giving a lot of opportunities for our new agents. managing, you know, an urban office in the city of Buffalo, we have a lot of people that enter our office and, you know, they want to sell houses in the Elmwood Village, but, you know, that market can be kind of tied up. And I found it, you know, for our new, hardworking, dedicated agents to be able to work with some of the people that are moving, you know, from different countries, from different areas, and they have the time to really invest with these people. We've had very successful new agents in our office, like Ty, who have built their businesses, you know, helping different immigrant families. And, you know, again, it's just so wonderful to see because the families, the children, it's increasing the safety in neighborhoods. You know, you don't feel uncomfortable walking in neighborhoods now because there's not as many abandoned homes. You know, the abandoned homes that leads to drugs, crime, people squatting in these houses, and it's changing.
What's going to happen also is the, and we're seeing this live and in color, and we're going to be talking about this a little later in the show, is the issue of the impact of things like the medical campus and the fact of life that the investment that's taking place there has really created a whole new set of demand for the properties east of the medical campus, which had, to a large extent, had been considered to be more or less undesirable in terms of housing for a long time, except for people that had traditionally been part of that neighborhood. Now those properties are increasing in value, and there's a whole new generation of people that are occupying that neighborhood, rebuilding, including taking lots where homes have been abandoned and torn down. And we're seeing a new rejuvenation in that community, which is spurred to a large extent by the increased development, investment and development, and the research and the intellectual power that's going into that community. Is that reflected in your activity in the marketplace, Ty?
Yes, I especially in the Hamlin Park area, and I don't know if a lot of people realize in that area, the housing stock is amazing. You walk in, even though it's they're older homes and they may have not been maintained over the years, but a lot of it is similar to what you would see east of Main Street in the Delaware District or the Elmwood Village. So there is a sort of slow-moving resurgence back into the area where people are buying and getting these houses at a lesser cost and fixing them up and making them into their homes and moving back into the area surrounding the medical campus.
The great driver of real estate values in the world today is population growth, human demand, more people chasing fewer goods, fewer products. What we've been talking about here in terms of people moving back to town for many times economic reasons, it's just a less expensive place to live than New York City, for example. And the growing number of jobs that are available in our community in all fields, which is very encouraging. And then you couple that with the immigrant and refugee community adding new vitality. These are young families for the most part. We've got an interesting dynamic going on. Jonathan and Ty, how do you see this continuing? Is this a bubble, or is this something that we think is just the beginning of a trend?
I think we see a lot of opportunity for growth. You know, one of the concerns that I have in neighborhoods like the East and West Side, where people who were natives of Buffalo who lived for a long time were able to find affordable housing, now people are having to compete to buy houses on the East and West Side. You know, a lot of the families that we see that are immigrant families coming from New York City, they're coming as cash buyers. And some of the families that have been in Buffalo for a long time, they're not cash, and they're getting pushed out of their neighborhoods where they've lived for decades. The PUSH project on the west side of Buffalo, you know, one of their goals is urban sustainable housing, and they're trying to make sure on the west side, where it's becoming rapidly gentrified, that people who have lived there for a long time can get affordable housing. So I think, you know, one of the things for developers to focus on is that the families that have supported the neighborhoods for decades, that they can still remain there and have affordable opportunities.
So how do you then, Ty and Jonathan, in terms of working with our customers and our agents, in your case, Jonathan, how do we keep the inventory moving? How do we bring new inventory into the market so that there's some of that demand that you're talking about can be met?
I think it's looking into different areas because, you know, for so many years, I would say the past 5 years, we were looking just off of Richmond heading west or right off of Main Street. We're going so much farther now. You know, we're going off Walden and parts of the east side, you know, where it's nowhere near the medical campus. And I think for people that, you know, have families that want to live and occupy the east side, they're able to go to more affordable spots. You know, they're getting those vacant houses. You know, I think, Ty, we've seen a big change, and it's interesting how many people that we're getting that will look at houses in any condition. I mean, what have you run across, Ty? I mean, as far as condition with people looking, they seem pretty open.
They are. Most of my clients tend to be geared towards houses that need more work. They see that they can get a deal getting a house that, I mean, like, structurally is sound, but needs just more than cosmetic work. May need some plumbing work, electrical work, or whatever, that they can either handle themselves or they have a contractor that they work with, but they're getting these houses at a lesser price and fixing them up.
You know, one of the things I want to comment on this week was the Erie County tax auction, and that's always a big buzz for real estate and probably a lot of our listeners out there. A lot of investors and people who live in the area, they feel that they have to go to these tax auctions to get the best deal in real estate. And in talking with some people who've attended the auctions recently, buying up properties throughout Erie County, buying properties in the city of Buffalo, the auction properties are selling higher than some of the listings that we have on the market. And, you know, I'd be interested to see what you think, Peter, because I think it's just this auction mentality and a bidding frenzy. Even if you were on eBay or buying an antique, you know, you see somebody else face-to-face bidding, you want to pay more. And what I'm finding is that if there's experienced investors out there who want to get deals on property, they're far better engaging with a real estate agent who can show them active inventory instead of bidding up on a property that they're not even looking at, that they're buying sight unseen.
The auction thing is an interesting concept in our industry, as you know, Jonathan, and I've observed this now for a long time and even dipped my toe and I bought a couple properties through an auction. And, I you know, when you walk away, even if you're the winner, you walk away and you wonder, did I pay too much? I know the one house that a long time ago that I bought that way, I was absolutely convinced I'd paid too much, and I felt like a fool for a while there, and I wondered if I'd acted differently, if I just had maybe gotten there a little earlier before the property was foreclosed on, spoken to the owner, which I tried to do, if I wouldn't have saved some money. And I'm not sure that feeling is uncommon among people that buy properties at auction. But you get into the frenzy. You know, you say all of a sudden you've got to have it just because somebody else wants it. And then there's more than somebody else. There's two or three people that want it, and so it just becomes then a matter of emotion, and I see that as not necessarily the best of things, but at the same time, even in the open market, as you know, Jonathan, and certainly you know, Ty, we can have that same situation exist for a house that's been on the market for 2 months, and all of a sudden, out of the woodwork, there's four buyers, and we've seen that many times, as you know, Jonathan. And I'm not so sure that same kind of frenzy doesn't happen at that moment in time, too. And it's really up to us as real estate professionals to manage that and also manage expectations of the people involved in that process, which is very, very difficult, as we were just talking about yesterday, when to some extent that the negotiation process is handed off to another agent by virtue of the fact that our processes have changed somewhat in the industry where the listing agent really does have control of that situation and may or may not allow another agent to come in with an offer and actually present that offer to the seller so that the seller can hear the argument or the case for any particular buyer. It's left to some interpretation. And that's what I'd like your comment on, Jonathan. And Ty.
Sure. I mean, I think, you know, when we have, you know, these scenarios where it's back and forth and the feeding frenzy, kind of like you're talking about, whether it's the auction scenario or it's the multiple offers, you know, we do have a challenge with, you know, discussing with the customers what their comfort level is, how they feel as a result of this. I think we do have buyers in the traditional sense that get that buyer's remorse and question if they overpaid for a property. One of the things to talk to with people, a traditional buyer, a non-investor, is the fact of the low interest rates. If this is somebody's forever home that they're buying and they're staying in a property long term, to maybe pay a little bit more for a house, even if they feel that they slightly overpaid, I think, you know, to be able to get a low interest rate to lock in, it's worth it for people who are staying in their homes for 30 years. The savings over the long term is significant.
Yet, Ty, you're a member of a generation that has never seen anything but low interest rates. How do you feel about that?
I think it's great. I mean, I think it helps, you know, the buyers afford more house. You know, it gives them more opportunity what to look at as far as when they're looking for a home. You know, with the low interest rates, it brings new buyers who may have previously not be able to afford a house into the market and looking for a house.
Do you think there's a point, Ty, where, you know, 1.2-1.3% rise in rates would cause people, particularly young people, to back away a little bit from the market?
I think so. I think, you know, people are budgeting so much for a house, and then if the interest rates rise, they're going to look at, well, you know, this was my budget. Now I'm beyond my budget, and I can't afford the house that I wanted to, and they may not want to settle for something, you know, that's not quite what they wanted.
You know, I want to make a comment really quick on this concept of interest rates rising. You know, I think that people who have locked in at low interest rates, when they start to go up significantly and they have to buy a new house, have a significantly higher interest rate, you'll see people putting additions on their houses, staying in their home for a low interest rate. And I wonder what effect that'll have in the future with our market.
I think it's going to have a lot of effect. It certainly already has had an effect. We had, as you know, an explosion of refinancing taking place over the last it's been in place really since the post-recession years, the initial post-recession years. And a lot of people say, well, look, I've got a low interest rate. I don't want to give up a 3% interest rate just to buy a new home, which, if you think about it, is positively absurd. And we do have to go to break, and we'll be right back with more from our austere after these very important messages.
If you're a homeowner age 62 or older, you owe it to yourself to look into a reverse mortgage. Reverse mortgages give seniors many different options to access the equity in their home. There's even a reverse mortgage for purchase available. For more information, call Karen Johnson, a reverse mortgage specialist at Hunt Mortgage, at 633-3700 or visit huntmortgage.com. Karen Johnson, NMLS number 485939. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. Go there today. We have more than one algorithm evaluation methodology for you to take a look at. So not only will you get one, as you would get with something like Zillow, you're going to get three. So you're going to get a real opportunity to understand how your property may fit into the market today, and there's never been a better time to take a look. Granted, these valuation methodologies are based on history. And in today's active real estate market that we've been talking about here this morning, what happens tomorrow may be a little different than what is predicted to happen today based upon history. So I encourage you to take a look at those algorithms and then consult with a real estate professional. Call Hunt Real Estate today, 633-9400, and find that person that can advise you on your particular neighborhood based upon the data that you're going to see on that website, because it really does require interpretation. In addition to that methodology, you'll also have access to a complete inventory of homes available today in the real estate market here in Buffalo, Niagara, and all across upstate and way out to Phoenix, Arizona. And one of the things about this that you'll notice, if you haven't already, is the inventory is down. It continues to be down all across the entire country, which makes it a very interesting time to enter the market or to consider selling your home. And you'll also find access to a complete set of homeownership services that are required in all transactions, pretty much all transactions, from mortgage to title to insurance. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA, and the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. And for more information about our many exclusive programs that allow you, among other things, to roll the cost of home improvements into that house that Ty was referring to earlier that might need a little work, that allows you to effectively buy the before, live the after, call Hunt Mortgage today at 633-3700 and ask about our pre-purchase commitment when you do call in. We have a growing group here in the studio with me today, and I want to welcome to our show this morning Matt Enstis, who is the head of the Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus. Good morning, Matt.
Morning, Peter. Great to be here.
It's good to have you here, and it's good to have you here to comment a little bit about what we've been talking about so far on the show today with Ty DiMatteo and Jonathan Orlow, and that is the real resurgence in really almost all forms of urban housing. You mentioned just as you came in that one of your own family members is making an investment and working on, I guess, the redevelopment of a property on the west side, which I think is exciting. And of course, you've got an extended family that's very involved in that too, as been on the show to talk about these things. But let's go back to your core activity for a moment here, and that's the medical campus. There's a lot of good things happening there. Children's Hospital is about to come online, and so tell us, give us an update. You haven't been on in a while.
So the big update is in the middle of November, Children's Hospital will move over to the medical campus. But the game changer when it comes to the housing part, to me, is the University at Buffalo moving its medical school down there. You know, I don't think we can quantify today what that impact will be, but that's where I see the opportunity, because one of the things we were talking about earlier is you get a lot of people coming in from out of town and they have a different view of the world and they are looking to be in the urban environment. And I think that's where you're going to see the opportunity start to happen.
And this, of course, to me is the most exciting thing, because we can talk to each other. You know, we do a great job of in this town. You know, aren't things going great? And we feel this momentum. And I've asked all my guests every single time we have someone certainly close to your stature in this community, how do we maintain the momentum? And the bottom line is what we were talking about earlier in the show, and I want everyone to comment on this. It's really new people to this town. It's people coming in and saying, you don't even know what you have. We're certainly seeing that in the arts community and certainly in the medical community, is the biomedical community that you're so actively involved in. But just comment on that. This whole thing with medical school, I couldn't agree more. That brings a whole new level of intellectual power into that part of the city, and lots of good things follow that. So how do you manage that whole process?
You know, I think the other aspect that's changing is down on the campus, we have a bunch of small companies. We have about 125 small companies, of which about 65% of them are technology-based businesses. And we're starting to see a lot of people from the outside take a real interest in starting their technology-based business here. And we're seeing a lot of overlap on the healthcare and medical side with technology, but it's going in a whole bunch of different directions. So, you know, I see the one thing you're talking about, what changes this is jobs, and they're new jobs that are really, to me, the future is based around technology, and hopefully that continues to grow. And the other thing that I'd really like to see moving forward are expats, people in the technology space that are all over this country who are in the San Franciscos, the Boston, the New Yorks, which are great cities, and I love to go there. But the reality is it's very difficult to live there from a cost perspective. And when you get into the technology space, you can live anywhere doing that type of work. And that's where I see an opportunity.
Let me ask you about that a little bit, because this is something that, you know, chronically we've complained about here in town, that we've been unable to tap into the intellectual power in all of our universities here in town, such that, as you're talking about here, that we've been able to commercialize a lot of the things that people are thinking about and inventing on campuses. We've had this gap. And if you look at, you mentioned San Francisco, but if you go into the Silicon Valley right near San Francisco, you see probably the greatest example of a partnership between an educational institution and private industry in Stanford. I mean, Stanford, what's happened to their endowment is unbelievable.
It's amazing.
And it's because the school itself made an investment in these companies. Is that the kind of thing that's happening here? Not the school itself necessarily, but just describe that dynamic.
I think that's the goal. You know, I just spent last week, I was out in San Francisco, Silicon Valley, and Seattle. Seattle's another city that just blew me away. I hadn't been there for about 3 years, and it is dramatically different. There's cranes everywhere. But the reality is, when you look at the tech-based businesses, it's a lot lower barrier to entry to start these businesses up. And that's where I see the opportunity coming from, because nowadays these kids can create apps. They can just create a business with doing very little with limited investment. And I think you can place a lot more bets in making those investments on tech-based investments.
And to the extent that the universities themselves are kind of hotbeds of the creation of these concepts. Is there a better link today than there was a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I think there's a great link with the university. We've always worked with the University at Buffalo for a long time. But when we're starting to talk about the tech space, I think it opens up the door to Buffalo State. They have a great tech school. You start thinking about Canisius College with some of the investment that they've made in that space. So it will start to open up the door to more people that it's not so specific to biotechnology, because that is very limiting. And what we see is they're starting to merge, and we want to make sure that we're opening this up to as many people as possible, because that is how I see us growing the economy here.
How do you then, Matt Enstis, as head of the medical campus, how do you act as a convener for this kind of intellectual cross-pollinization?
You know, it's a lot of meetings with the leaders at these institutions, you know, and bringing them in. I think the other aspect that we're focused on right now are the students and engagement directly to the students. How do you get the students down there? Right now, there's a group of people in our facility called, in one of the places in our innovation center called DIG, and they have this whole startup weekend where it's 2.5 days of people trying to create businesses and pitching their business ideas. And that's not just the University at Buffalo or the Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus. That's a community-led initiative that, you know, we're kind of supporting a little bit here.
There's so much happening here, and we do have people calling in to talk about some of the stuff we're talking about here. Our first caller is Terry from Niagara Falls. Terry, how can we help you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm actually, it has nothing to do with Buffalo. I'm actually trying to promote Niagara Falls. Mm-hmm. I find that there isn't enough promotion about real estate in Niagara Falls every time I'm listening to, you know, your station or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I know you promote the South Towns, Hamburg, everything that's 20 minutes away. Well, Niagara Falls is 20 minutes away as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really good prices on real estate here. Mind you, you know, there's areas of the city that maybe aren't very favorable, but that's no matter where you live, there's areas like that.
Sure.
But there's so many beautiful areas in Niagara Falls, the North End, DeVoe area, beautiful old homes.
Mm-hmm.
There just is a lot available in Niagara Falls. And I really feel that, you know, maybe a lot of the agents, maybe your agents, to promote, you know, more people coming out this way, which would also help our local economy.
Terry, I could not agree more. I was just watching the news this morning about the mayor in Niagara Falls and the tax increase that he has to propose, which is very minor for residential units, but it's a little bit more for commercial units, mainly because of the dispute that's still taking place with the casino, the proceeds of the taxes for whatever it is, the payment in lieu of taxes from the casino to the state of New York and where that money's going to go. It's a complex issue, and I think the issue of Niagara Falls, which we'd like to do more about on this show, because I couldn't agree more. It's really an undervalued asset in our community by a massive amount, and I'm not sure exactly what the keys are to stimulating greater investment there and hence improvement of values. It begins with people, and people move where they have jobs. And I think one of the things that we really need to focus on in Niagara Falls is how we promote more industry there. Matt Enstis here from the medical campus, that's a huge catalyst, but it has a limited geographical impact in terms of where how far people are going to go to participate in that kind of intellectual center. I don't know, what are your thoughts, Terry, in terms of what would be the big draw to Niagara Falls today?
Well, of course, you know, unfortunately, the only thing we do kind of have going right now is tourism. But mm-hmm. the way I look at it is, I've lived in a lot of other different places. Some people drive hours to go to work. And Niagara Falls is 20 minutes down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty well anywhere. So that's really, it's not even so much what we have to offer. I mean, we do in the LaSalle area have, you know, our outlet mall. We do have a lot of places to shop.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we're still relatively close to Buffalo.
Right.
Very affordable housing. And that's why I'd like to just see more promotion. Maybe we don't have the medical campus, but we do have, of course, our Niagara Falls Memorial Medical Center. You know, they've built that up with their heart center and everything. Mm-hmm. But really, it's all about people wanting to find affordable housing not that far away from Buffalo.
I think we'll all be in for a pleasant surprise, because it's amazing what people do. They tend to push out when things become unaffordable. And we're certainly seeing that, Ty. I'm sure you're seeing that as people have moved farther and farther. And Jonathan, you were commenting on this earlier. They move farther and farther from the energy generator, so to speak, what we're talking about here in terms of the medical campus. But maybe Terry's right. Maybe we'll see Niagara Falls come back. In your experience, Matt, do you see that? Do you see a way for the Niagara Falls geography, the city itself, to be a complement to what you're doing?
You know, I don't know enough about it, mm-hmm. but you know, a lot of the, you know, we're hosting this big event on October 20th to the 24th. It'll bring 100 of the top software engineers in the world to compete to say who's going to be the top coder in the world. 25 different countries are going to be represented for this thing.
Wow.
You know, when you start to look at it from an international perspective, what the caller is talking about is people know that. So it would be interesting to see with, you know, a lot of the people that are coming from an international background who know Niagara Falls more than they probably know Buffalo, would they have that interest if that was put in front of them? I don't know the answer.
Well, let me give you a little bit of a hint on that. I haven't been on for the past 2 weeks. I've been out of the country, and I happen to be in Dubai just a couple of days ago, and people would say, well, where are you from? And I'd say, Buffalo, New York, and they'd give me a quizzical look. First of all, I'd say, oh, New York. They thought it was, I'd be Manhattan or something. And I'd say, well, no, you've heard of Niagara Falls. Immediately they know about Niagara Falls. And just like Terry's saying, I'm 20 minutes from Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
Really? Like, you're 20 minutes from a place like that? So what you're saying is 100% true. If you poll people around the world and you say, what one thing would you recognize about Western New York, if they even knew Niagara Falls was in Western New York, they'd say the falls itself.
It wouldn't be Hunt Realty?
Well, I'm trying to – that's why I was in Dubai.
Oh, okay.
No, not really. But anyway, it's a most interesting concept, and in terms of how we are recognized around the world. After Niagara Falls, of course, the number one thing is snow.
Yes.
So we're battling that at all times, too. And I heard it was the governor of Minnesota I heard on the radio yesterday, and they were talking about you know, the winter, and he said one thing is for sure, winter comes to Minnesota, and where's that effect? And that's one thing we can pretty much bank on, except the last two winters, and that's
yeah.
snow. But the fact of life is, I think people who come here enjoy it.
They do.
So let's go back. We have to go to a break right now, but when we come back, I'd like to hear some interaction from all of you in terms of the real drivers of future growth in our real estate market, when it comes to the investment that you're talking about, Matt Enstis, in terms of these the technology industries in particular, but also the single individual homeowner and what they're doing day to day to improve our community through investment. And we'll be right back with more from Our House to Yours after these important messages.
If you're a homeowner age 62 or older, you owe it to yourself to look into a reverse mortgage. Reverse mortgages give seniors many different options to access the equity in their home. There's even a reverse mortgage for purchase available. For more information, call Karen Johnson, a reverse mortgage specialist at Hunt Mortgage, at 633-3700 or visit huntmortgage.com. Karen Johnson, NMLS number 485939. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, and Hunt Mortgage is the home of the low-rate and closing cost guarantee and also the pre-purchase commitment. Call them today, 633-3700, for the best possible opportunity to secure the financing you need in today's very, very active real estate market. We have a whole group here in the studio with me today. From our metropolitan office, we have Ty DiMatteo, who is a growing expert on the opportunities that exist in and around the kind of hot markets in the city today, and also Jonathan Orlow, who is branch director for our office that is at the core of this, right at Elmwood and Breckenridge. And then the one of the chief catalysts of all the excitement in our town today is the Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus, and the head of that organization is here with us as well, and that's Matt Enstis, of course. During the break, you mentioned one thing, Matt, that I just wanted to have all of you touch on here today, and that is the gentrification issue. This is something that often is the great criticism of a resurgence in any urban area, that when things start to turn around, there's the momentum that previously, quote, affordable housing now becomes unaffordable, and the people that have been there for maybe generations are either pushed out or incented out just by virtue of the fact that their property has gone up in value, and say, we might as well sell and go someplace else. And they go to the next ring, wherever that might be. Tell us what your thoughts are about, in particular, neighborhoods like Allentown. Any of you? Don't all speak at once.
Ty, why don't you hit on that, because you were pretty eloquent about it earlier.
So I've noticed in Allentown since the resurgence or the, you know, what's going on in a medical campus, that not only housing costs are going up, rental rates are definitely increasing, you know, 2 to 3 times what they were going for maybe 10 years ago, 7 years ago, even pushing out to like the lower west side, you know, West Tupper, those rents, you know, when I used to live over there. I had a 3-bedroom apartment, upper flat, for $350. Now, recently, I believe it just rented for $1,200. Wow. You know, so those rents and rates and the housing are continually increased just because the demand is growing in that area based on what's going on nearby.
So Jonathan Orlow, does that mean that people that previously were potential buyers are now forced into the situation where they have to be tenants, there's a further delay for many people in buying a home?
I think for people that want to be in a particular neighborhood, they have to stay tenants longer. And the whole issue is rents are increasing so much, it's becoming more and more difficult to save money for a down payment. So a lot of the millennials that we have that are out there, they're not buying houses yet, not in the city at least. If you want to be in Allentown, if you want to be in parts of the West Side or the Elmwood Village, those are now some of the most expensive zip codes in Western New York. So for those true city dwellers, urbanites, you know, I don't think people will be buying houses in their 20s. They're going to have to wait till their 30s because they're going to be paying upwards of $300,000 to enter that market.
Let me throw a hot potato in all of your laps, which I read about while I was in Dubai. As a matter of fact, the Dubai newspaper had an article about two young people in, I believe it was Seattle, Matt, who created a new business built off Airbnb. And what they're doing is they've created an investment fund from which somebody can borrow up to $50,000 for a down payment, so long as they rent out rooms under the Airbnb system and pledge, I believe it's 75 or 80% of the revenue from those rooms to pay back the loan. And this, I thought it was rather inventive because it allows people to effectively avoid that delay that you're talking about, that forced delay, because they're forced into tenancy because they can't save the money, or continued tenancy because they can't put the money away to buy a house. Now, I don't know if that'll ever happen here in town, but it just sent up a red flag.
I think you're going to see more of this because technology is allowing for that transaction to happen. You know, out when I was out west, two of the organizations that I met with, they were actually on schools. And what they were doing was they were creating schools, and they were saying, you come and get educated for free. This is college. And they were saying, in return, we get 20% of your first 3 years of income. And they're playing that in the tech space. So some of these kids are coming out making $150,000, $200,000. But there's a way now with technology that you can create the field and the opportunity for that to happen. So when you talk about that with a house and people having to wait, you know, people are always out there thinking about these new ideas. And that's what I find so intriguing about the next generation coming up. The possibilities in front of them, if they just step back and can think for a little bit, can do things like this.
Well, I don't know, Jonathan, do you think an idea like, you know, Matt is talking about really layering technology, and that's what I think is one of the great opportunities in all this creative thought that's taking place. Somebody comes up with an idea like Airbnb that completely caught the traditional hospitality industry by surprise. They poo-pooed it like they always do when there's a disruptor. We were talking about yesterday among our leadership team, Jonathan. They completely poo-pooed that, and all of a sudden they were caught totally flat-footed. And now here's a new group that's layering up right on top of that and saying, we're going to capitalize on that brilliant idea, and we're going to create a whole new opportunity for people to buy houses. Didn't you see this thing evolving?
You know what? Just thinking about it quickly, after you brought it up, I could definitely see this happening. You know, using technology, using apps for people to find roommates, tenants, but in a more high-quality way. You know, what if there was a technology company that had a standard for the housing, you know, for people to be roommates, for students, for the medical students that you're talking about at the medical campus? You know, that could really be huge, integrating the two, technology and real estate, even more so.
And, you know, Peter, one of the things, I would have never thought Airbnb would take off in Buffalo, and friends of mine are buying, you know, big houses, and they're doing Airbnb, and they said they're doing extremely well with them. I would just met a new kid from my son's class, eighth grader, moved here from Toronto. And I said, oh, where are you living? He said, oh, we're in an Airbnb right now, and we're moving into our house on Richmond in a couple months. But they came here to Buffalo and lived in an Airbnb for the first 2 months while they were here from Toronto.
And this is the prime example, again, as we were talking about yesterday in various directions, Jonathan, of how through technology people are being connected in so many new ways. And how they get to people like you, Ty, is really interesting to me. How do you – we've only got a minute left here, but how do you maneuver through that and actually get to people and are able to help them when they're trying to go through this maze of technological access to our products and services?
And it's pretty easy. I mean, like, a lot of times, you know, with my clients, I work with them as far as, you know, searching for homes, use a technology provided by Hunt and narrowing down what they're looking for. And a lot of times I find myself basically communicating just via technology, you know, email, text messages, you know, even WhatsApp, you know, because I have a handful of foreign clients. So by focusing on using technology to communicate makes the process more seamless.
And I think that's kind of the theme of all that we've talked about. How do we remove the seams? How do we take the obstacles out of a commercial transaction, intellectual progression, growth, and construction even? How do we take the obstacles out and make for a more efficient society? And that's, I think, what technology is all about. We do have to go, but I want to thank you all for being with us. Ty DiMatteo from our Met office, also Jonathan Orlo, our branch director, and of course Matt Enstis, the head of the Buffalo Niagara Medical Office. Thank you for being with us today, and thank you for this wide range of topics we've discussed. Thank our listeners for being with us. We'll be back next week at the same time, and remember, when it comes to real estate, Western New York is Hunt Country.